for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Friday afternoon Ladies 115 Deliverance and Teaching Meeting. Louise Pemble is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on Wells of Living Water.
You ladies ready to start? Miss Louise is ready to start. Lord, we just thank you for this time to come together, and we thank you for these ladies, and we thank you for Louise, and we thank you for the anointing to flow. Jesus, it's you that sets the captives free, and we thank you for Louise's obedience and the anointing to come forth, Jesus. Amen.
Well, for several weeks, I've been kind of, do you ever meditate on Scripture?
Yeah.
And this one, it just kept coming and coming and coming, and I didn't know I'd be speaking or anything, so this must be what we were doing. Right. And it is in Isaiah 12, verse 3, if you want to read it. And it says, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And I think the last two speakers we had just covered everything. I mean, they covered everything, didn't they? So anyway, it says, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. There's a scripture that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And this is Philippians 2:12, part of 2:12. Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation. Now, this sounds like to a lot of people that it's a contradiction, because Jesus saved us, didn't he? But we get born again one time, but we're in the process of being saved. And this word salvation here, where it's used, means according to Strong's Concordance of 4991. Says the state of believers being safe from righteous wrath in a proper relationship with God. So we go back to drawing water out of the wells of salvation. And did you notice it didn't say the well of salvation? It said wells of salvation. I mean, the Christian life is ongoing. And there's so much living water for us to draw. We're to work out this salvation with fear and trembling, it says. Look at Genesis 24, chapter 24. You can't hear me? Okay, I'll try. Okay. You get it up some? Okay. Well, I'll try. Okay. Chapter 24 in Genesis, starting at verse 10, I believe it is. 10 through 21. In Genesis 10 through 21. This is a lady that you're all familiar with. And she was drawing water. And you remember this story here in the Bible. It was a truth. When Abraham got old and his son Isaac, you know, he was very old when Isaac was born. But Isaac had not yet married. So the servant that was over all of Abraham's household, Abraham sent him for a bride for Isaac. He said, don't you get one of these ladies over here that's in this idolatry. You go over here where our family came from and get this bride. So the servant had gone over there to get the bride, and it starts in verse 10 when he went. It says, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that hath appointed that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out and was born, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And verse 21 says, "And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to see whether or not the Lord had made his way prosperous, his journey prosperous or not." I know everybody's real familiar with this story because it's always one of our favorites, isn't it? But in this story, did you notice how many camels there were? How many camels were there? Ten. I mean, that's a lot of camels. Okay, when he asked her for a drink of water, where was her water? She let it down on her hand. Where was it? They carried it on their heads. Did you ever see a picture of that well, those wells over in Israel? They like what we call a crater, you know, big. And they're built up with stones, and there's a circular stairway goes up. No rails, circular stairway that they go down. And this says she went down and got the water. She went down and got this water on her head and brought it up. And she not only gave him some of it, she offered to feed his camels water. You know how much water a camel can drink? That's why they use them. They can go without water so long because they have a big reservoir. And I've forgotten how much, but it's a huge amount of water. How in the world did she do all that? It would have to be Jesus, wouldn't it, for us? But see, she was very fair to look upon. She was beautiful. She probably didn't look like us because she was so strong. I mean, their idea of a beautiful woman probably didn't agree with ours, is what I'm saying, nowadays. But see, she was so strong, she could do this. And she was drawing water out of the wells of salvation. Didn't what the Samaritan woman say that to Jesus? "Give me a drink," he said. Here the servant said, "Give me a drink." And this in drawing water out of the wells of salvation means so much more than I could ever know, I think, you know, all of us. Because it means so much. But it has to do with working out our own salvation, see, our relationship with Jesus. All this has to do with relationships. And I can't see my note, my scripture. Okay. In Galatians 5:20, you may or may not want to turn there, because on the works of the flesh, there's two that I listed down, is idolatry, this is verse 20, and then verse 21, envy, he says, and such like, he says. These are works of the flesh, okay? And I brought today one of Doc's books, because I thought we might talk about self-pity. Every time I open that book for somebody else, it gets me. Every time. You know, and I think, oh, that'll help them. No, it may help them, but it helps me. And so anyway, if you haven't got one of these books back here on the book table, it will really help if you have a problem, but it will help you to help somebody else, especially for a problem. Uh-huh. Okay. And it's on page 109 here. If I can get it with this, then I'm going to try to read it for this. See, both of the speakers last night and this morning touched on self-pity, you know, us wanting our own way, you know, and it just didn't work right because it's not fair. Both of them said, it's not fair, you know. We think things, well, they're not fair. That's not Bible. It doesn't say anything. We're in there. Anything's fair, does it? It doesn't say that. But we do. We just feel like it's not fair, different things, you know. So, on self-pity, I know y'all can't see this, but he has a tree here that Laura drew, a tree, and the down at the base of almost everything is fear. You know, this started in the garden. When God came and said, "What have you done?" Well, they were afraid, so they blamed the blame on somebody else. So everything starts nearly with fear and rejection. So the tree of self-pity starts with fear, and it goes up a little ways, and then it branches off and does two fruits. And the first one says bitter, and the other one says, "Poor me. I mean, it's not fair. What they did to me, did you hear what they said? You've acted like I was so-and-so. It's not fair. Poor me." Okay, and that's bitter. That goes off one side of that tree. And then on the other side of that tree, just a little bit higher up, this other's still there. This bitter and poor me still there. But on the other side of this tree, if you don't get rid of that, it branches off into two fruits, which is envy and jealousy. Well, you know, they got so-and-so, and I wouldn't have done this if it hadn't been so-and-so, you know, and it's all their fault, you know, and jealousy. And they wind up over here in idolatry. Well, ago when we got to the, not the fruits of the Spirit, the others we were reading on. Yeah, the works of the flesh. Thank you. The works of the flesh. Wasn't idolatry one that was named?
Yes.
Well, how do you get there? These are some of the things, the ways we get there. And if you say you don't have any idolatry in your life, the Holy Spirit just hadn't showed you yet, because He's always showing me things that I have put instead of God, you know, and we have to, they keep falling off of us, don't they? Because He's conforming us to His image. Yeah, so the idolatry can lead to alcohol and drugs, you know, it can. I feel so sorry for myself. I had a friend years and years ago, and her husband, she was nursing with cancer, and she wound up being alcoholic because she sat with him so much, you know. And I know all this attacked her. See, all these things were let in demons. And she became an alcoholic. When he was gone, she wound up alcoholic, you know. So anyway, you're going up this tree, and then you feel like things are not fair. They're unfair. And it'll branch off on one side into false responsibility. Well, this person over here is being mistreated, so you take this up, you know, when it's not really your responsibility. And then the other side, if you don't do this, it'll branch off into anger and rage, you know, because you're being treated unfair. I had a lady come to the house this week that felt like this. She felt like her family was treating her unfairly. And I don't know her true situation, because you can't just talk to one person in a situation and find out what's going on. You can be aware of the spirits they're being tormented by. But you can't really tell the situation without knowing what's really from the other's point of view, too. But anyway, and she had this repressed anger and rage because she felt like she's being treated unfair. And she was going to confront this situation. And I said, "Well, you know," and she said, "You don't believe in confronting situations? The Bible says to talk it out, you know, and all." She said, "I'm doing it according to the Bible." And I said, "Yeah, that's not wrong, but there's a right and a wrong way to do it. You can't try to correct situations when you're full of anger and rage, can you?" "No. You have to react in the nature of Jesus. You have to come in brokenness like they were talking about if you're going to enter into something like that." And she never did understand this. You know, she couldn't see that she had anything to do with the problem. It was their problem tormenting her. And so she's still kind of bound in that area. But anyhow, the Holy Spirit can show her. He'll eventually show her, because you can't stay in that place. You get too much mystery. Okay. So this tree went on up, and it branched off in two big branches to the top. Had some more fruit. And this one on the false compassion goes into abnormal love of pets and environmental activists and peace movement and animal rights, taking up these causes. Now, there's not anything wrong with some of these causes, but if you haven't dealt with this fear and self-pity and unfairness, you'll come at them in anger. See, you can't hide it when you're angry, can you? No, it's not what you say, it's what you're putting out. Yeah. Okay, and the other branch is withdrawal. Well, I'll just crawl off in the corner and eat worms, you know. They're going to act like that. I see you've been there. Yeah, I know. And this is, goes into fantasy, you know, daydreaming and deception and delusion. These are fruits of all that, you know. So we don't want any of that. And in the Bible, he lists our biblical example of that was Saul, King Saul. And he said in 1 Samuel 22:8, "All of you have conspired against me, and there's no one who reveals to me that my son has made a covenant with the son of Jesse. And there is not one of you who is sorry for me to reveal it to me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as it is this day." So this self-pity will lead you to compare yourself to someone who seemingly has everything going for him or her. And as you judge by appearance, you decide their prosperity is not fair. And this will lead to envy, jealousy, and covetousness. And since Scripture equates envy and covetousness with idolatry, Colossians 3:5, this jealousy, idolatry will open you to, you know, it can, to alcohol and drug abuse in Hosea 4:11. Okay. And Colossians 3:5 says, "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, and desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." And Hosea 4:11 says, "Harlotry, idolatry, wine, and new wine enslave the heart." Said, "As alcohol and drugs or the street of prescription numb the pain of their perception of unfairness, the rejected person can withdraw into a fantasy world of daydream and vivid imagination." And said, "The downward spiral in from fantasy into the lust of the world, perversion, and a debased mind. And as people caught in this spiral experience more rejection, the cycle starts over again." So I wanted to share this because he says it's so good, you know. He says it's so good. I mean, these are things that we fight because they're works of the flesh, and they can lead to demonic, you know, things. But going back to talking about drawing water out of the wells of salvation, well, how do you do this? If we're going to do this, I mean, she did in the Bible. We saw what she did. She literally went down in that well and brought that water up and gave it to him. But for us, what does this mean in the spiritual? See, how do we do it? Nobody got a suggestion yet. We're going to break up at the end of this and have discussions. Okay. Yeah, that's it. Go back to the cross. Okay. In John 16:33, Jesus says, "In this world you shall have tribulation." See, both of them touched on that too. We didn't know what each other's speaking. But what does "shall" mean?
Will.
We will. We're going to experience tribulation. What does tribulation mean? Troubles. Lots of troubles. I mean, that's just life. That's the way it is. We are going to come face things, you know. We're going to face things, he's saying. We shall experience your tribulation. But the last part of that verse says, "But be encouraged, I have overcome the world." I have overcome the world. He has done it so that we will know how. Yeah, how did he overcome the world? He only did and said, he said, "I only do and say what I see and hear my Father do." So it was through obedience, you know, to the Father's word. It's how he overcame. So how do you think we're supposed to overcome? Same way. And anything that we say, you know, from the Scripture is just words. Unless the Holy Spirit makes it life to me. Otherwise, I just read it, and here it is. You know, well, that sounds nice. But when he makes it life to me, that means I got to do something. I got to decide what am I supposed to do about this? You know. So that's where we are. And this is in the drawing, this water from this well of salvation. It's His Word, okay? And because Jesus overcome, we think, well, I'm not Jesus, you know. Yeah, we are. We're His vessel on this earth. We're what He uses, you know. We're what He uses to touch other people, to show Him His nature, what we're supposed to be. And in the early church, they said the mark of the Christian was, see how they love one another. I mean, this was different. It wasn't what was in the world, you know. A lot of times, the people in the world, and even in devil worship, I'm told, it's the love that draws them into it. See, it's where that we need more of the love of Jesus flowing in our life. See? But we know it's possible. Because in the Song of Solomon, let's see if I can find the scripture here, chapter 4, verse 7, and there's another one in verse 15, same chapter. Chapter 4, verse 7, Song of Solomon. Jesus tells the bride, and this is pretty close in the beginning of their relationship here, when in that song she's already met him. But as it progresses, they begin to get into a deeper relationship, to really have a relationship, to know each other. See? And he tells her here, he said, there is no spot in you. That means, as we're in the works, being conformed to His image, we can come to the place where there's no spot in us because He says we can. He says we can. No spot in us. Yeah. And the bride in Revelation, you know, there's no spot or wrinkle in her. Yeah. And in verse 15, that chapter 4, Song of Solomon, it says she's not only a well of water, he says you're a garden of waters, a well of living waters. See? How do you like being a well of living waters? When the all this rain was so heavy, you know, real lately. Well, it was really heavy. And I was sitting down there on this little river watching, and that thing was running so fast. I mean, I never saw water run that fast before. I mean, it was really rushing, you know. And that's what he says, it will be a well of living water. It's not just sitting there. It's supposed to be flowing. It's supposed to be flowing. Well, what's flowing? What's flowing? If we're a well of living water, what's flowing? Yeah. Jesus' nature is flowing out. The love of God flowing out. Uh-huh. And what overcomes fear? Yeah, perfect love cast out fear. Perfect love cast out fear. Yeah. Where Jesus said, in this world you're going to have tribulation. That's all there is to it. Okay. Well, that's what Jesus said, and so that's when it started. No, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30, actually 29 through 33. We'll read that one if we can find it here. Deuteronomy, let me find it again. Deuteronomy chapter 4, 29 through 33. Okay, this is Moses talking to him here about God. He said, but if thence thou shalt seek the Lord, thou shalt find Him, if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. And when you are in tribulation, did he say you might be? He said, when you are in tribulation, and all these things are come upon you, even in the latter days, aren't we living in the latter days? If thou shalt turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto His voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which He sware unto them. Am I reading too far? 33. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask for the one side of heaven unto the other, from the one side, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of fire, as thou hast heard and live? See, this was up on the mountains they heard God speak. And they said, you go talk to him. We'll die if we do. So he was telling them, you know, that God is their salvation. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as thou hast heard and lived? You ever feel like you were in the fire? You hear the voice of God speaking in the fire. That's when we need to hear the voice of God, isn't it? In Philippians 4:10, this is a scripture I've sure been going over a lot lately. When people come and this is wrong and that's wrong and the other's wrong and what all they eat. Philippians 4:10 says, Apostle Paul says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. How did he get there? Being content. He learned it. How do we learn something? You go through it to learn it, don't you? We don't stay in it. You go through it. I mean, it can be, like I say, the Bible can be words to you. But if it's life to you and you go through it, see, you learn it. You learn he's talking to you, what he's talking to you about. And see, Apostle Paul said he did. Well, did he have it easy? No, he was beaten, shipwrecked, and in jail, and had stripes all over his back, bleeding down his back, in this old dirty dungeon, and sitting there in the dark, singing and praising God. Well, how do you think he got there? He had been through so much already. He learned to be content. He had been wrongfully beaten, him and Silas. But he knew that God was God and he was in control. He didn't know that God was going to save that whole family through all that, did he? Maybe that whole area was evangelized because of that. We don't know. But he had learned to be content and know that God was in control, see? There wasn't anything he could do about it. So he was just content and praising God. We ain't quite got there. It's hot in here. In the Revelation 7:14, it talks about, they ask, who are these? And they say, these are the ones that came out of the great tribulation. And we kept talking about among ourselves, we keep talking about the things coming on the earth and on our nation under the judgment of God. These are the ones that come out of the great tribulation. They weren't taken out of it. They went through it. And they suffered in it. They are the ones that came out of it, see. So God can, He's going to protect us from what we need. He's our protection, okay. In John 7:38, Jesus said, out of your belly, said, if you believe on me, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Not a river, but rivers. This tree we were looking at, see how the thing branched out and branched out and branched out and brought all this bad fruit? In our life, Jesus said, out of our innermost being, our belly is going to flow rivers of living water. They're supposed to branch out, see? And it don't really have to do with us. It's what he's doing, you know. He will bear the fruit, you know. We just say, yes, Lord. Okay. The Bible starts in Genesis with a river. In Genesis 2:10, it says there's a river went out of Eden to water the garden right after the temptation. It says there's a river went out to water the garden. And the Bible ends in Revelation with a river. In Revelation 22:1-2, it talks about a pure river, water of life. So that's what he's doing in us. He's making us pure like he is. See? And there is a little song on a cassette we got, not a cassette, a CD. And it says, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be a servant of all. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be a servant of all. And I like that little song. And I also had one other thing I wanted to share. Bruce said yesterday, I think he was yesterday before quoting somebody else, but he said, stay in the fire till you become the fire. Stay in the fire until you become the fire. And Don shared one with here one time, and I never forgot, because he's an engineer, has this kind of knowledge. And he says water, when it's heated to a certain degree, real high, turns, I think he said, into nitrogen. It turns into some kind of gas, and it feeds the fire. And y'all remember when Isaiah filled the troughs with water, and the fire of God came down and consumed the sacrifice, the rocks, the altars, and the water. It consumed the water. Yeah. So everything that's not of God, just stay in the fire till you become the fire. That means you become one with the fire of God. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? He's working on us. And yeah, we're going to divide it in groups where y'all get to share, since I've talked so much. And let's see. You want to lead a group? Ada, you want to lead one? Okay. And Diane, so we'll divide three. Okay. So, start numbering off over here. One. One, two, three. Okay. You're four. She didn't hear me.
She didn't hear me.
She's four. Dottie.
Dottie, you're four.
You're
four. You're number four.
Oh, we're going to have three groups. I'm sorry. Okay, she's one.
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 Two.
In a minute. Okay. Did y'all start numbering? Bernadine's three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sometimes there's something you wonder about, and somebody in your group may know an answer. And then things that you may know somebody that's hurting that you'd like to know how to help them. There may be something you need. So just this will give everybody an opportunity to speak if we divide it in small groups, okay? Okay, Ada over here is going to be over on this side. You're up. Okay, you be number one. The ones meet with Ada right over here, okay? And two's over here with Diane. Okay, now threes, how about in the back here on this side? And when your group leader, when y'all get through sharing, your group leader can dismiss you and we'll be through, okay? Okay, you tell Dottie.
I will.
Okay, thank you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.